It's cold, refreshing, and soundless as it falls. Children love it, and when it happens, they ask for lots of it. Parents, well, not so much. Thank you for joining us today. In a few moments, we'll begin our time in worship. Please stay with us following worship on this phenomenon, snow, and why we should really enjoy it.
Good morning. Good morning. Let's stand for our first song, please. The Lord reigns. He is mighty God. The Lord God reigns. The Lord reigns. He is mighty God. The Lord God reigns. Praise the Lord Almighty. He is Lord.
Good morning, church. So good to see you this morning. Hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful weekend and the beginning of our week. I hope you got to go outside yesterday and see this big, bright yellow thing that's in the sky. We call it the sun. And we're glad that it's come back our way after a gloomy week. But we're here this morning to celebrate a different sun. And we're glad that you're here with us. If you're visiting with us, we've come together to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that gives us hope that we can live eternally with our God and Father. Aren't we thankful for that today, church? We're going to have an incredible lesson from Scott Sager this morning. As always, as we continue to learn to love one another more, and as we have that in mind, I want to make you aware of a couple of things from this church body. Cynthia Bickle fell and broke her upper arm this past week. And when she went in, she had some heart trouble, some AFib caused by blood clots that they found in her lungs. She had to stay a couple nights in the hospital and is now at home. But we do want to be prayerful for her. I think recovery may be a little lengthy, so we want to be awfully prayerful for Cynthia and also Dan as he cares for her. Bill Price the Fourth, if you need a nickname, I've called him 004 for 20 years now, so you may as well, has had an MRI on his knee and hopes to get results this week. So we're going to be continuing praying for 004. And then I found out this morning Michael Haynes has been in the hospital for a couple of days with a virus that he and his family's had to deal with. So I want to pray for him. Those are things that we have from this body that we want to continue to show love for each other as we put those things on our hearts, minds, and we offer it to the throne, in front of the throne of God for others. It is good to be here, and as we continue in our worship service this morning, I'd like to read from the book of James. Here in chapter 5, as it says these words, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I believe in prayer. I believe it's a tool that God has given us. And so let us pray today for those that we've mentioned And let us pray to God that he continues to walk with us in this life. We're glad you're here.
Angels are singing redemption sweet song. Wonderful thing, glorious thing. Shout gladness and joy in the throng. Sing redemption song. Sing this sweet story. Redemption sweet song. Over and over, the glory is the law.
Would you bow with me as we go to our Father in heaven? Our glorious Father in heaven, we come unto you this morning in prayer with the opportunity to speak to you and for you to hear our petitions. And Father, we're so grateful for that privilege and your willingness to give us that opportunity. Father, as we have been learning over the past few weeks, we've been learning more about how to love one another, how we should forgive one another. Father, we've learned how that we should be more comforting to others. And today we're going to study more about how we should learn how to pray. And perhaps that's the most difficult sometimes, because we sometimes seem like we don't know how to pray. And we're concerned about our relationship with you. Father, as we pray to you this morning in what humble way that we can, we want to mention those, Cynthia and Bill Price and Michael, that have needs that are critical to them as far as their health. And we pray that you will watch over them and give them strength and give them the ability to withstand the difficulties that they're going through, and that you will give them good health again, and that they'll be able to join with us. Father, we pray unto you for strength and for your power to be able to overcome the temptations that we face every day. We ask for your forgiveness. We sin, we fail, we don't do the things that we should, we fail to do the things that we should do, and we pray that you will forgive us of those wrongs.
We know you do. We are thankful for that forgiveness. Father, we are concerned about the needs of others. There's people all around us everywhere, opportunities every day to help others in need. And we pray, Father, that you give us the wisdom and the ability to recognize those needs and to act upon them. Help others who, in whatever small or large way we can influence them, help them with their needs, all to your glory. Father, we are living in difficult times. We face many hard and difficult situations each day and in many different ways. And Father, we pray unto you that you will give us and give all of us who live in this world the ability to recognize that your forgiveness is obtainable, and that we pray unto you that we will be fighting against sin, and that we will do the things that are right and glorious to your name. And Father, we pray unto you that the truth will be accepted. It seems everywhere we turn anymore, there is so much falsehood and so many accusations and so many things that are wrong, and we pray that people will strive to look for truth and to rely on you for that ability to recognize it and to put it into practice. Father, as we worship today, we want to also remember our missionaries around the world. We have many in many parts of the world, and that's very difficult for to be that far away from us and us from them. And we pray that you will give them strength and courage and hold their hands up as they face challenges every day to proclaim the gospel to those who have never heard it before, and help them to help those who have needs, help them to fulfill the command that we are to take care of each other and to love one another as you have loved us. As we continue our worship today, Father, we pray that you will enjoy the worship that we give to you. We pray that it will be pleasing to you. And Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who came to this earth, became one of us, and died for our sins. And it's his name we pray. Amen.
I'm going to ask, please, that you stand for our unison reading and for the song to follow, please. Our unison reading comes from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through the first part of verse 45. Please read with me. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. This next song is going to be a newer song, but we have practiced it with our singing group on Wednesday, so please sing along.
Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we come, knowing that for every step you were with us, kneeling on this battle ground, seeing just how much you love, knowing that.
Did you leave us on our own? before we share in the Lord's Supper, let's sing the song, "When My Love for Christ Grows Weak."
And my love to Christ was deep when for
prepare for the Lord's Supper. Our reading this morning will be from Mark chapter 14, verse 35 through 43. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and he found them sleeping. He said to them, "Simon, Peter, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and he prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and he found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came the third time and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Is it enough? The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed to the hands of sinners. Let us be going. See, my brother is at hand." And immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a crowd of swords and clubs from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. This was preceding right as Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He took three of his closest friends, his apostles, Peter, James, and John, with him. Those were the three that he came back and he found sleeping. And he asked, "Just stay awake while I pray." Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew this from a long time back. This is one of the reasons that he came here. Yet you can see how much even he, in human form, was still struggling with this. You know, he asked his Father, "Take this cup from me, but in all things, let your will be done." See, Christ went through all of the all the way up to the cross, and he died for us. Completely alone. His parents weren't with him there on the, couldn't be a part of it while he was on the cross. His friends couldn't go through it with him. They couldn't even stay awake while he prayed for it. If this doesn't show the absolute love that our Jesus Christ had for us to go all the way to the cross all alone, then what else does? Let us remember the love that he shed all the way for us as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the sunshine that we have shining outside today. We all have blessings in our life. Lord, I pray at this time we can remember the sacrifice that you were able to give for us all alone. That your body was taken, it was stripped away, and it was put up on a cross and hung for us. And that you did it willingly with the love that you have for us. Please help us to remember that as we partake of this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, as we're about to take of this cup, We again remember the sacrifice that was shed, that it came all the way to an end of Jesus dying on the cross, that he shed his blood for us so willingly, and that this is a symbol that when we take of this cup, we remember the blood that he gave for us, that without it, it wouldn't mean anything, us being here and the hope that we have of salvation. So as we take of this cup, help us to remember these wonderful things of his love. In Jesus' name, amen.
In both the Old and New Testaments, there are a number of examples of giving and offering. In the Old Testament, there are several types of offerings or giving that's listed: burnt offerings, grain, sin, guilt, peace, and even offerings of first fruits. And connected with each of these types, there are stipulations surrounding each for proper acceptance. And we're familiar with tithing, or giving at least 10% of what we have, and this shows our obedience to God. We know that God blesses us through our giving, and in giving, we understand that the things that we call ours are possessions that God has given to us to use for a short time. These are only temporary gifts. And so, giving not only shows our obedience to God, but it also says that we love God for what he's done for us, especially through Jesus. And in that demonstration of our love, we want to share in the opportunities to show Jesus to the world. We know our first gift to the Lord is ourselves, because we realize the gift of his greatest blessing, and therefore we are willing to give of our finances, our material goods, our time, and our talent. And as you can see on the screen, there are a variety of ways we can give. So let's think of giving as a pure privilege, a loving privilege that brings incredible rewards, both now and for eternity. Would you pray with me, please? Father, thank you. Father, we know that the gifts and blessings that we receive have come from you. Everything we have is yours. That you've given these things to us for a short period of time to use and to share with others. Help us, Father, to be cheerful givers. Help us to have hearts that are open, hearts that are willing to share what we have with others. And Father, now as we give, may we think about the work of the church in giving back to sharing the gospel. And may we give cheerfully and willingly. And it's through Jesus we pray. Amen.
God of our fathers, your mighty hand, who leads forth you, the all-solid man, all shining world, in splendor through the skies, our grateful souls, before that throne arise, thy love, light, and bless in the past.
From Ephesians 6, verses 12 through 18. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints.
It's now time for the children to go to the Sunshine class. If you're visiting with us and have a child ages 2 through the 2nd grade, we would love for them to participate. Just get them to this double door and they'll be taken to the class. Let's stand as we sing the song, and after this, Scott Sager will bring us the message this morning.
Come and see the sunshine, come and see the sunshine. The sun is shining brightly, it's happening right here. Come and see the sunshine, come and see the sunshine. Let's go see the sunshine, it's shining over here. Every sunlight, will light my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing.
Please be seated.
If you have a Bible, please turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, we'll be there this morning. We're in a lot of places this morning, but that'll get us going. I wanted to do something that I always do when a special guest is here, and that is invite a friend of mine up to pray for us. He's not just a friend of mine, he's a mentor of mine. He's one of the most important people in my life. And he's here today. Joe Shulam has been my professor, my friend, my guide since 1987. So he's known me a long time. And he's here today from Jerusalem. Grateful he's here for a few weeks. And then I'm headed there, and he'll be there in time to help me guide a trip here in a couple of weeks. But I wanted to invite Joe up to pray for us and just to give a blessing to our church. Could y'all give him a round of applause? Because he really is a special person. Appreciate that. We'll put you on that mic right there.
Our Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, our Messiah and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, we approach your throne. We approach your throne, Father, with great concern for our world, great concern for Christianity in the world, and for the churches. We ask your mercy. We ask your guidance. You ask for your power. We ask for your message. We ask for your patience with us and empowering us with the Holy Spirit to go out with the helmets of salvation, with the sword of your word, with the boots and with the belt that holds us together as a brotherhood, as your children. And we ask you to forgive our sins and our mistakes and our shortcomings, and use us as tools in your hand to complete the work that Jesus started, and to see him return quickly to take us forever, for eternity, to spend with you, with your Son, and with the saints of all generations. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus of Nazareth. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you. You know, Joe has told me many times that one of the great influences on his life while he was a student here at Lipscomb, Mary Nell was your husband. And that's something special to know. Today I want to talk about one another Christianity, and we've been in a series on this, and today I wanted to remind you again that this one another becomes a very important phrase for the church. The phrase one another is used over 100 times in the New Testament, and 47 times it's telling Christians how we should relate to one another. 60% of those times it's used by the Apostle Paul, telling us how we should live with one another. And on the backside of COVID, we've really become a group of people who have been isolated from each other. And so thinking about how we relate to one another, how we respond to one another, what is our responsibility to each other? You know, today our youth are out on a retreat, and that's part of what it means for them to be in one another relationship with each other, is that they count on each other to be there, to be engaged, to be a part. And so we find that even working there. I want to put in a plug to the college group. We're having the college students over tonight, 5:30. I think she's making taco soup and queso. And it's a great time for us to one another together. We'll pray, we'll encourage, we'll comfort, we'll support. But we spend time together because one anothering is so important to us. And I've tried to say from the very beginning that all the one anothers of the New Testament flow out of this one, love one another. You might remember that the Apostle John, when he was young, was called the Son of Thunder. He was a hothead. But by the time he became an old man, he was known as the Apostle of Love. And when people would come to him and ask for advice, he would only say the same thing. Little children, love one another. If you do this, you have done enough. And so we understand that everything flows out of this passage from John chapter 13. A new commandment I give you, love one another. All people will know that you are my disciple
by the way that you love one another. And so what we discover is this image of Jesus washing feet as doing whatever it takes to demonstrate love to somebody else. Is it comfort? Is it encouragement? Is it support? Is it prayer? Whatever it might be, all the one another's flow out of our desire to love one another. And so today I want to talk to you for just a moment about how do we pray for one another? How do we pray for one another? And maybe you have noticed, and on Wednesday night we have a group of college students and we're gathering to talk about prayer. And I try to tell them, understand that prayer is hard work. Whatever you think about grabbing your gym bag and going to the Y and putting in a really hard workout, prayer is like that. It's not just something that you just kind of casually fall into. I mean, it is a desire. It's something that you plan. It's something that you work at. And Paul is saying we should be people who intentionally pray for one another. The passage, James 5, verse 16, says, confess your faults to one another. Be honest with the fact that we all are fallen. And then pray for one another that you might be healed. The effectual prayer of a righteous person accomplishes a great deal. And so today, let's talk for just a moment about how do we show love for one another by the way we pray. And notice this quote from Richard Foster. I think it's one of the best of all of his quotes. Look what he says. He says, if we truly love people, how many of us truly love people? Raise your hand if you truly love people. Look at your spouse and make sure their hand's up. If it's not, wake them up, right? If you truly love people, here's what Foster says. If you truly love people, we will desire for them more than it is in our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. If you really love somebody and you want the very best for them and you want to give them the very best you've got, you'll pray. You'll pray for them. James was the brother of our Lord. And he wrote this letter, book of James, that shows us what he learned from his big brother. You might remember that they were carpenters. And you can only imagine the day after the resurrection that Jesus and James had their encounter. And everything changed for James. And this one who was the brother of our Lord became the servant of our Lord. And he also became famous for his knees. And if you were at the funeral for Nick Boone, you also saw pictures of Nick on his knees in prayer for his family. But James was called camel knees. And this is what that looks like. On the left you have James, and on the right you have camel knees. But it's this idea that because you spend so much time on your knees praying for other people, that calluses form. That this becomes the posture of your life, that James was so known for his prayer that he carried the marks of his prayer with him on his knees. And so this morning, let's ponder for just a minute the crucial power of intercessory prayer. And I want to do three things for you quickly, and that is, what is it? How do you do it? Who does it, and how do you do it? So what is it? Who does it, and how to do it? It'll be real quick, but I think it's really important. What is it? What is intercessory prayer? That's what we call praying for one another, intercessory prayer. And I wanted you to notice that there are four primary words for prayer in the Greek in the New Testament. But there's really two of them that we want to spotlight today. One of them is prosukomai, which is this prayer that is a wish for somebody else. If you want the very best for somebody, if you have a wish for somebody, you take that to God in prayer. That is an intercessory prayer where you bring your wishes for somebody else. Now, the other word that's used here is entano, and it's another word for Greek, but it's interesting. This is a word primarily used for when God intercedes for us. And it helps us to understand that while we are interceding, God is also interceding at the same time. And so I wanted us to think about whatever our wishes are for other people, when we take those wishes to God, that is intercessory prayer. And what we learn from Paul in 1 Timothy is that whenever the church gathers, one of the first things that we should do, and we did it today, is that we should offer petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings for all people. We should pray for each other. We should pray for our rulers. We should pray for those who are in need. But when we gather together, we pray. We lift each other up. We offer these kinds of prayers. Paul models this in every one of his letters. You can't read a single letter of Paul where he doesn't intercede on behalf of those that he's writing about. And he's often writing things like, look, I'm praying for you. I'm often praying for you. I'm called to prayer for you. But Paul was somebody who was constantly interceding. The prophet Ezekiel in the Old Testament gave us this idea of what intercession means. It's really a courageous act, intercession. Look what he says in Ezekiel chapter 22. He says, so I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it. But I didn't find anyone. He said, I was looking for just one person who would look at the situation and say, this needs to be fixed. There's a breach in the wall and somebody needs to stand there and be the support that everyone else needs, that be the protection. And Ezekiel said, I was looking for somebody who would pick up that mantle, but no one did. Intercessory prayer is when you stand in the gap for people that you care about. When you pray for them, when you take upon yourself this mantle of being a courageous person of prayer on behalf of other people. It's when you begin to pray for others and you think about their needs and you begin to think about how can I take their concerns before the Father? How can I stand in the gap? That's what intercessory prayer is. Who does it? Well, there's a laundry list of the great people of Scripture who were known for their intercessory prayer. First, there's Abraham. Look what it says in Genesis chapter 18. And Abraham came near and said, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within this city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it if there were 50 righteous in it? And then you remember Abraham's prayers, 40, 30, he starts working his way down. But what Abraham's doing is he's standing in the gap. He's praying on behalf of people that he cares deeply about. The prophet Samuel was known for his intercessory prayer. Look what he says about intercessory prayer. Far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. He's talking to Saul. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. Samuel says, oh, look, I've got a responsibility to God to pray for you. I'm going to do it. Elijah was known for his prayers. And you might remember the passage in James that we're looking at this morning goes on to say, hey, you can do this. You can pray for other people. Elijah, he was just a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, and it didn't rain. Now, how many people pray that it won't rain? When was the last time you prayed it won't rain? You were throwing a wedding or a 50th anniversary party, or you know what I mean? It's very unusual to pray that it won't rain, okay? I'm from Texas. We constantly were praying for rain. You know, we were even praying that God would turn wine into water in Texas. And we were like, whatever you did at Cana, just turn it around, God. We need water, you know? But what's Elijah doing? He's praying this prayer because he knows that something has to happen for Israel to repent, to be called to their senses, to get things right before God. And so he prays, God, do whatever it takes to turn the hearts of these people back to you. And so he prayed, and it didn't rain on the land for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it began to rain. Elijah was known for his prayers at Mount Carmel. He was known for his prayer for the widow of Zarephath, that there would be food for them to eat. He was known for his prayers of intercession when the widow of Zarephath's son died, brought him back to life. He was known for his prayers of intercession. Here he is on his knees, praying that it would rain after 3.5 years. But Elijah was known for his prayers. But I didn't know if you ever thought about the fact that when we pray, Jesus is interceding too. Look what it says in Romans. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also what? Interceding for us. So Jesus is interceding. One of the prophecies about Jesus in Isaiah 53 says, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered among the transgressors, yet he bore the sins of many and what? And made intercessions for the transgressors. This was the prophecy about Jesus. Romans 8 says, Jesus is sitting at the place of honor, interceding and pleading for us. But the Holy Spirit is also joining in our intercession. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with wordless groans. And in verse 27, and he who searches hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. So when God's righteous people are interceding, Jesus is interceding with them. The Holy Spirit of God is interceding with them. What could you possibly do with your time that would be more productive than joining in the intercessions of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God? That's what intercession is all about. And the great people of faith have been people who intercede. So here's how to do it. Super quickly. One of the things we ask is, if Jesus were praying for somebody, what would they pray? What would he pray? What would he want for you? What would he want for your child? What would he want for your mate? What would he want for the person in the neighborhood that you're praying for? It tells us in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, that Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. Jesus was a person of prayer. And in Hebrews chapter 7, it tells us that even now, he is able to save completely those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to intercede for them. So we begin to believe that the prayers of righteous people are powerful and effective because they join with Jesus. They join with the Spirit in this time of prayer. But here's the new prayer. It's not new at all, but it's the one that I've been praying here lately as a prayer of intercession. Notice what Paul says. This is the text I told you, if you flipped in your Bible and you wondered if I'd ever get there, I'm here, okay? Clap for me, I'm here. I made it to Colossians chapter 1. But here, I wanted you to notice, this is Paul defining for us how he intercedes for the church in Colossae. Look at the topics. Look at the things he prays about. Because you could take this and pray for other people. Because he says, this reason, since the day I heard about you, I have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God, what? To fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And we also pray that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. And we also pray that you'll please him in every way, and that you'll bear fruit in every good work. And we pray that you'll grow in your knowledge of God and that you'll be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have endurance, so that you might have patience, so that you might give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. Do you see what intercession looks like? It's praying for the very best of people, that they'll be in God's will, that God will bless them, that their life will bear fruit, that they'll grow in their knowledge of God, that they'll be strengthened in power, that they'll have endurance and patience and joyfulness in all that they do. This is what we pray for other people, because we want the very best for them. We love them so much. We want for them more than is in our power to give. And so we pray. So, intercessory prayer. I've told you what it is. I've showed you all the great people of faith who have done it, and I've taught you how to do it. So, here are a few tips as we close. Tip number one, it's time to believe in what you know. The longest distance any idea ever travels is from your head to your heart. Ideas can travel around the world in a nanosecond, but to get something from here to here requires faith. It requires believing that prayer really does make a difference. You know up here that it does, but you haven't decided here that it really does. And so you're living in this in-between of, do I really believe what I know? Look what Luther said. Luther said, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of God's willingness. It's joining with God. Mother Teresa says, we cannot underestimate the power of prayer and the difference it will make in our world. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Tip number one is to decide to let this move here. Embrace it. Believe it. Because Jesus says, whatever you pray, you need to pray in belief. Believing that God hears and will answer your prayers. So tip number one is to settle this thing once and for all. What do I believe about prayer? Is prayer a substitute for action, or is prayer an action for which there is no substitute? That's what you want to know. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, more things are wrought by prayer than the world ever dreams of. And so we pray. So it's time to decide what you believe about prayer. Tip number two, it's time to take action. You've got to activate prayer. Once you decide that it's a powerful tool that God has given to you, you have to use it. You know, it doesn't pay to have a golf club that will hit the ball 300 yards, but keep it in the bag. You got to pull it out. You got to take the head cover off of it. You got to tee up the ball and you got to hit it. And for a lot of us, prayer is that golf club that sits in the bag and we never get it out and we don't use it. So we've got to take action. Look what John Wesley said. Prayer is where the action is. Turn to the person next to you and tell them that. Prayer is where the action is. Is that what our culture would say? Prayer is where the action is? Imagine what Wesley is saying. He's saying that prayer is what powers everything else that happens, and so we pray. Oswald Chambers says, prayer does not fit us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work, and so we pray. And what we notice is that when we pray, it is the action that empowers and impacts everything else we do. So we pray, And we pray first, because when we pray first, we pray best. And it has the power to influence everything else we do. So I told you I'm trying to make things really simple in this series. So I want to give you the three C's of intercessory prayer. Three C's. You ready for this? I mean, this is so basic, it's embarrassing. The fact that my mentor is here for this simple little illustration I'm going to give might be embarrassing to me, but y'all need to hear this, okay? The three C's of intercessory prayer. You ready for this? Your clock, your calendar, and your coffee cup. Sager, what in the world are you talking about? I've got an alarm on my watch. Do you? Mine goes off every day. It reminds me of something. It calls me to pray. You've got a tool on your arm that distracts you from prayer a lot. Why don't you program it to call you to pray? You've got a calendar. And for a lot of us, our phone tells us what to do. So calendar in your phone. One of the things I do is when there's somebody that I'm praying for, I find out when their birthday is. Denny, when's your birthday? Okay, June the 16th. So at 6:16 in the evening, I would put in pray for Denny on my calendar. And you know, it'll pop up every day at 6:16. It'll say, pray for Denny. And I'll remember Denny at 6:16 or sometime after that when I pick up my phone. But it'll remind me to pray. And so I'm using the tool that can draw me away as a tool to draw me in. And I can program throughout my day calls to pray. For my wife, for my kids, for things that I'm concerned about, and my coffee cup. I've got 5 different coffee cups that I rotate. And there are certain people and certain situations that I pray for every morning when I grab that cup. Or you could do this. You could write the note of somebody that you're praying for, stick them in the coffee cups in your cupboard, and then pull them out. And some of you are thinking, yeah, but I buy all my coffee at Starbucks or Panera, right? Okay, here's what you do then. When they say, what's the name for this cup? Don't use your name. Use the name of the person that you're praying for. Put their name on your cup and then carry their name around while you're drinking that coffee and remember, oh yeah, I'm praying for Julio today. And so I've got a coffee cup that says Julio on it today. But it's our way of just making things simple because we have to have reminders that call us to pray. And if you want to start by praying Scripture. If you're trying to figure out how to get started, here's 3 of my favorites. Isaiah chapter 11, when I want to pray for the Holy Spirit to be on somebody, they're having a special moment. I will pray that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon them. A spirit of wisdom and of understanding, a spirit of counsel and of might, a spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and I pray that they'll delight in the fear of the Lord. But it's just taking that scripture and applying it to somebody that I'm praying for. Or, so many people tell me they're anxious or worried. And I use this prayer from Philippians chapter 4 about the peace of God that transcends all understanding that can guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Or I have discovered that this prayer seems selfish when I pray it for myself, but it's a really great prayer when I pray it for somebody else. I got Ken Sandberg over here. I pray this week that the Lord will bless him and that the Lord will enlarge his influence and that the Lord will be with him in whatever he does and protect him from evil and keep him strong. We've got to learn to pray for one another. I hope I made it simple. The hardest thing is to move it from here to here and then to activate it in little ways in your life. We have to pray for one another. Clock, calendar, coffee cup. Try that today. Say that with me. Clock, calendar, coffee cup. It'll take you 5 minutes to program your life so that you are called to prayer on a regular basis for the people that you love enough that you want to pray for. Find you a simple prayer. Pray for them. It'll take you 2 minutes to stop and to pray. But we believe that the prayer of a righteous person can availeth much. And I close with this challenge for you this week. Do the clock, do the calendar, do the coffee cup. Find you a simple prayer and pray this week and see if what William Temple says is true. And that is, when I pray, coincidences happen. And when I don't, they don't. See if your prayers don't change things for yourself and for others. Let's pray for one another. And if we can pray for you or minister to you in any way this morning, that's why we're here and we're not in a hurry. We encourage you to come to the front as we stand and sing this song.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King.
At 5:30 for some really great soup and queso, go find him afterwards and he will give you all the instructions that you need to be a part of our one another tonight at the Sager House. I hope the college group will come.
And we have very special guests with us today. We have Patty, that's Bob's mother, Floor, and Lily. They're all right back there in the back. Make sure you meet them before they leave to go back home to Mexico. We've enjoyed them for this weekend.
Let's sing one closing song, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without thee. I hear your cry to take one step alone. I cannot bear the loads of life related. I need thy strength to lead myself apart. Be with you, Lord, no other gift or blessing. Thou wouldst be so good with what I compare. Cross and sins, for my abiding presence, where I am, to feel that thou art near. And Father, when we go to you in prayer, we do feel that you are near. Bless us with that this entire week and help us to think of those that we need to bring to you in prayer every day. Thank you for letting us be here. We pray for our teenagers as they are away on a retreat and give them safety home. We pray for Patty and for Floor and for Lily and give them a safe trip back to Ensenada. Thank you for all of your blessings. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. And you're dismissed.
Snow. Once in a great while, it's a big deal. Instead of immediately digging out the driveway, we would dig out our warmest jackets and boots from the back of the closet and head out to play. A snow day can turn into an unexpected vacation day from school where we would get to hunker down or head out to play, or both in good measure. A snow day is as much a frame of mind as it is a weather event. I remember as a child wishing for it so that I could get out of school in the wintertime, and when those occasions happened, my brothers and I would ask our mother to make a frozen concoction called snow cream, a wintry, snowy delight that was made by combining milk, sugar, vanilla extract, and then adding in the most important ingredient, snow. What a great memory. Hello, everyone. I'm Ronnie Ferris, an elder here at The Church of Christ in Green Hills. Thank you for joining us today. Yes, snow can be lots of fun to play in, or even to enjoy from inside your house, and what might be best when you don't have to leave home for a few days. I hope you appreciate snow as one of God's true wonders. I've read that snow is mentioned 24 times in the Bible. It's mentioned in the book of Job as God is challenging him to understand its uniqueness and perhaps its treasure. But what about us? Have we thought about the symbol that snow represents for us? In Psalm 51, David asks God to cleanse him so that he'll be whiter than snow, and describes how God's judgment makes everything white as snow again. Then in Isaiah 1, verse 18, it says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become as wool." And what a wonderful promise that is. And then from Mark 1, verses 40 through 45, we find the story of Jesus' encounter with a leper. It says in part, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hands and touched him and said, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And as Jesus healed this leper from his deadly disease, he can and will do the same thing for us as he heals us from our deadly disease, sin, making us clean and as white as snow. The physical aspects of snow brings an untarnished beauty of white. Similarly, Jesus is willing to cover our sins, making us clean and white as snow. And what's more, he forgets what he's covered. What a bonus that is. So what about you? Are you seeking to be made as white as snow? Would you like to reach out to us and talk about that? You may contact us at elders@cocgh.org. We're here and we're willing to have that conversation with you today. That beautiful white snow that we've often enjoyed pales in comparison to Jesus' promise, the only one who can make us as white as snow. Have a great week.